Why don't we notice all these extra dimensions if they are really there? Why do we only see three space dimensions and one time dimension? The suggestion is that the other dimensions are not like the dimensions we are used to. They are curved up into a space of very small size, something like a million, 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 millionth of an inch. This is so small that we just don't notice it. We see only one time dimension and three space dimensions, in which space-time is fairly flat. To picture how this works, think of the surface of a straw. If you look at it closely, you see the surface is two-dimensional, that is, the position of a point on the straw is described by two numbers, the length along the straw and the distance around the circular dimension. But its circular dimension is much smaller than its dimension of length. Because of that, if you look at the straw from a distance, you don't see the thickness of the straw and it looks one-dimensional. That is, it appears that to specify the position of a point, you need only to give the length along the straw. So it is with space-time, string theorists say. On a very small scale, it is 10-dimensional and highly curved, but on bigger scales, you don't see the curvature or the extra dimensions. If this picture is correct, it spells bad news for would-be space travelers. The extra dimensions would be far too small to allow a spaceship through. However, it raises a major problem for scientists as well. Why should some but not all of the dimensions be curled up into a small ball? Presumably, in the very early universe, all the dimensions would have been very curved. Why did one time dimension and three space dimensions flatten out, while the other dimensions remain tightly curled up? One possible answer is what is called the enthropic principle, which can be paraphrased as, "We see the universe the way it is because we exist." There are two versions of the enthropic principle, the weak and the strong. The weak enthropic principle states that in a universe that is large or infinite in space and/or time, the conditions necessary for the development of intelligent life will be met only in certain regions that are limited in space and time. The intelligent beings in these regions should therefore not be surprised if they observe that their locality in the universe satisfies the conditions that are necessary for their existence. It is a bit like a rich person living in a wealthy neighborhood not seeing any poverty. Some go much further and propose a strong version of the principle. According to this theory, there are either many different universes or many different regions of a single universe, each with its own initial configuration and, perhaps, with its own set of laws of science. In most of these universes, the conditions would not be right for the development of complicated organisms. Only in the few universes that are like ours would intelligent beings develop and ask the question, why is the universe the way we see it? The answer is then simple. If it had been different, we would not be here. Few people would quarrel with the validity or utility of the weak enthropic principle, but there are a number of objections that one can raise to the strong enthropic principle as an explanation of the observed state of the universe. For instance, in what sense can all these different universes be said to exist? If they are really separate from each other, what happens in another universe can have no observable consequences in our own universe. We should therefore use the principle of economy and cut them out of the theory. If, on the other hand, they were just different regions of a single universe, the laws of science would have to be the same in each region, because otherwise we could not move continuously from one region to another. In this case, the only difference between the regions would be their initial configurations, so the strong enthropic principle would reduce to the weak one.